Shmos. So Parshas Shmos and Sefer Shmos really as a whole has a different name. You might have heard of the Ramban called the Sefer HaGeula, and that makes a lot of sense. The Sefer of Redemption, that already has a good name for it. But the Bahag, the Baal Hilchos Gedolos, the Bahag who writes down all the different mitzvot, he argues that the Sefer HaRambam, the Sefer HaMitzvot in many different ways, he calls it Sefer HaSheni. Now, he doesn't say that Vayikra is Sefer HaShlishi and Sefer Ravi and then Sefer HaMishi. He doesn't say that. He just calls this one Sefer HaSheni, Chumash Sheni, and then he calls the other ones other names, Torah Kohanim, Chumash HaPekudin, and other things like that, but he doesn't. So why is this called Chumash HaSheni? And the obvious answer is because it's connected to Bereishis, meaning it finishes off what we were talking about, the Sefer Briya Sa'olam, the creation of the world. It finishes off and goes into it. Now, we know the world was created for Bnei Yisrael, the nation that chose HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that didn't happen. God did not choose Bnei Yisrael until Bnei Yisrael left Mitzrayim and accepted the Torah at Har Sinai. We all know the famous line, Yom HaShishi, right? By Yehul HaShemayim V'Aretz V'Chol Tavon. The He stands for, there will be a day, a sixth day of Sivan, a day that's going to be like this day, in which there will be a condition. If you accept the Torah, then Bereishis will have been for a good reason and everything's all good. If you don't accept the Torah, then forget it, it's never going to work. The sixth of Sivan, when they were supposed to accept the Torah, they were supposed to have it, remember Moshe had been pushed off a day, to the seventh of Sivan, the whole world would have been turned into Tohu Vavohu, if not for Bnei Yisrael accepting the Torah. So this Sefer is really an end to Sefer Bereishis. God created the world, but did not yet finish it off. He wasn't sure, so to speak, if you can say that about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that the world was going to remain this way until Har Sinai, and then it was decided this is it, and that's why I call Sefer Sheni.
Is there a connection between Bereishit starting with a Bez and Shemot starting with an Aleph?
It doesn't. So if that's your question, then no. Well, how does Shemot start? Sorry, it's all over the place. But with a Vav. So there is a connection with a Vav. We all know what a Vav does. A Vav connects you to what it said before. That's exactly what we're trying to say. The Vav is saying Ve'ele Shmos, meaning connect it back to Bereishis. This is the second Sefer, because remember, we did that over there before. That's the concept, to connect it to what it was beforehand. It's not a great answer, because to be honest with you, we all know that Vayikra starts off with a Vav, and so does Bamidbar also start with a Vav. Start off with a Vav. It's not the greatest connection of all time, but I guess you could say it should be Ela Shmos, the same way it's Ela HaDevarim at the end of at the beginning of Parshas Devarim. So maybe it should have been that way. But this is the idea, that even though many Jews don't accept the Torah for what it is, and they don't do what the Torah says, this is our Maila and this is our Chashivus. Without it, we're absolutely nothing. We're just another nation in the world that means absolutely nothing. This is what we have, and that's the concept behind it. Now, when Moshe Rabbeinu got to Har Sinai, I'm skipping over most of the beginning. Everything with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Bisya, Basparo, and everything that happened when he was growing up, Kush, when he went to Kush, which is not mentioned in the Torah directly, it's just mentioned indirectly, and then the fact that he saw and he left, whatever, and everything with Yisro and everything, I'm skipping all the way to the point where Moshe Rabbeinu went to Har Elokim. When he went to Har Elokim, he was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shal Ne'alecha Me'al Raglecha, take your shoes off your feet, and Perek Gimel Pasukei, Shal Ne'alecha Me'al Raglecha, take your shoes off your feet. What does that mean? What does taking off your shoes mean? So the Avia Ezri says this, but not here. He says it later on by Parshas Chalitza. And so too it's mentioned over here by the Netziv. Shal Ne'alecha means to strip off your gashmias. Get rid of your physicality. Don't go after your own will, your own teva, your own nature, anything that you have. Be separate from the world and make yourself kadosh to Shemayim. That's what it refers to. So take off your shoes, so to speak. Take off your physicality and just live a life full of ruchnis. Normal human beings cannot do that. Normal people do not have the ability to strip off their gashmias and only have ruchnias. It doesn't happen normally. By chalitza is this concept of marrying your brother's wife after your brother passes away, chas v'shalom, something like that happens, and there's no kids, marrying that wife, that's yibum. Chalitza is when you take off the shoe, and there's a spit, and everything, crazy things happening. The concept is that l'shal, for a little bit, I can take away my gashmias and be totally ruchni. Moshe was told to do this at all times. You are going to have the Shekhinah with you forever. You are never going to be a normal human being ever again. And no one's going to be like you. There's no one that is ever going to be like this. Everyone is going to get married, and everyone is implored to get married. Every Navi must get married. In fact, one of the prerequisites to being a Navi is absolute simcha. Simcha only comes when having a wife. When having a wife, that's the concept of you have to be married, and then you're fully besimcha. That's the idea. So there's no way to have it otherwise. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the first person and the last person to have this type of nebuah where he had to have his spodidus. He had to be this person that was going to be together with the Shekhinah forever, no longer together with his wife. Now Moshe Rabbeinu brought himself to a certain level. Remember, he's 80 years old at the time. He's not a spring chicken, and it's not like he's just sitting around doing absolutely nothing. He's been working on himself for 80 years after the teachings of his parents that he got for the first 20 years of his life, that he was molded for. He was ready to do this, to be a parish. His nature made him more nivdal from other people, more parish from other people, and therefore he accepted this whole idea of besimcha and prepared himself for prophecy, a constant prophecy, with a constant devekus, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, a constant closeness with God that you can't find by other people. If that's so, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told to do such a thing, you can now understand why it was so bad. When all of a sudden he said no, God told him say yes, so he ended up saying yes. And then we have at the end Perek Dalet, it says an unbelievable line. It says Perek Dalet Pasachov Dalet Vayi Baderech Bamalon. He was when they were on their way toward the end. Vayifkesheu Hashem Vayivakesh Amiso. God met up with him and wanted to kill him. Weird lashon. God wanted to kill him? What does that mean? That he wanted to kill him? That's number one. And then it says, Vatikach Tziporet Zor, Vatikach Zor Laspino. Tziporet took a rock, cut off the orla of her son. Vatagel Raglav, it hit the feet of Moshe Rabbeinu, or the feet of the child. Vatomer Ki Chasen Dami Matali. And she said, you're a husband of blood to me. Weird line. But Yirif Mimenu, then the Malach HaMashchis, the destroyer, went away from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ozamra, then she said, Chosin Dam LaMulos, my husband is full of blood for the Mila. Which, none of this makes any sense. We have two sentences and a total of eight words that Tzipora says in the entire Torah. This is the extent of Tzipora's conversation with us as Klal Yisrael. And both lines make absolutely no sense. Absolutely no sense. Ki chasen damim atoli, chasen dam lamulos. So what is Tzipora trying to tell us that's so important that she had to say it and had to make it into the Torah? The only line she says, the only thing that she says, and we don't have any clue what she's talking about. What does this mean? What is she talking about? So there's a lot more to it than just that. First of all, what's Vayivakish? What's trying to happen over here? And everybody knows the Rashi. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a snake, and that was the destroyer, the satan that was trying to kill Moshe Rabbeinu. There was a snake that ate Moshe Rabbeinu from the top down and started swallowing him, but couldn't get past the bris milah. So the snake spit Moshe Rabbeinu out, then grabbed him from the feet, started swallowing him from the feet, then spit him out, and then started doing it all over again. Tzipora saw this, realized that the snake was stopping by the bris milah, realized it had something to do with the bris milah, knew that her son had not yet had a bris milah, gave the bris milah to her kid, and then the snake went away. But what's she saying? What's going on here? So Rashi says, because he wasn't Mal Elazar. He wasn't Mal Elazar. But it still doesn't explain the Vayivakish, that God wanted to kill him. What do you mean wanted to kill him? Either God kills him or he doesn't kill him. You don't need to want to kill him. What does that mean? And what does it mean that the snake had to swallow up until that area? So Or HaChaim says, an unbelievable line, Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, he was a shliach mitzvah. He was sent to do a mitzvah. We know that shluchei mitzvah in an izokin, if you're a shliach mitzvah, you cannot be hurt. You will not be damaged by doing a mitzvah. Because a shliach mitzvah has a malach with him that's constantly watching over him, taking care of him, making sure that nothing bad will happen while you're on the road. So over here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not kill Moshe Rabbeinu because it was a shliach mitzvah to go down to Mitzrayim. So by Yavakish Lamiso means he wanted to kill him but couldn't because of his own laws, so to speak. Moshe Rabbeinu could not be killed in this situation. But why now? What just happened? A as we just said, the Malbim and the Nitziv both say the exact same answer. Moshe's job was to be a parush. He had to stay away from people. And he just got involved in the Malone. In getting care of a room, making sure that everybody knew that he had a family with him. He stopped and he talked to an innkeeper. By normal people, that's a normal thing to do. You don't leave things up to your wife. You take care of it yourself and you go up there and you say, yeah, we need a room, etc. Moshe Rabbeinu cannot do this. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to show him. This is not you anymore. You're not about this. You cannot be that person. You cannot deal with other people. You can't act normal. You're not a normal person. You are going to be someone that's with me at all times, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you're wrong for that reason to get involved. And this is why he was being punished. Because you're getting involved. You didn't want people to think you were special. You didn't want people to think you were different. You went ahead and said, yes, I need a room, please. As soon as you said that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you deserve to die for that. What did he do? He immediately appeared to him. Now here's pshat. A Navi normally, when a Navi normally has a nevuah, he goes into convulsions if he's awake. You have to either be asleep, or you have to be in a state of dreamlike, some dreamlike state, where you're not there. You're not fully conscious. If you are conscious, then you start to go into convulsions, in some type of epileptic seizure, almost, so to speak, and you start getting this vision, because you cannot get it while alive. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only Navi to have gotten it alive. And part of the reason why, he was awake, and part of the reason why he got it while he was awake, fully awake, is because he was on such a high level, on such a level of Yisbodidus, that he was able to make his body taller. He was able to take his shoes off. He was able to become that person who, it was as if he was sleeping while he was awake. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was trying, was all about. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him suddenly, coming upon Moshe, it was a warning of what would be from then on. This is what your life is going to be. It ke'ilu killed him. The vision was a vision of almost evil, of a snake trying to eat, destroy him. All Tzipor saw was that Moshe Rabbeinu was falling on the ground and totally gone. She had no idea what was going on. That's number one, why it happened. He was a shliach mitzvah, so he couldn't be killed. But why it happened is because he didn't follow what HaKadosh Baruch Hu prescribed for him, be a parush.
Why are you saying that? Isn't that in the written straight in the Torah that there was that something's trying to swallow him?
No, by Yavakei Shamiso. That's all you got. It doesn't say anything whatsoever. And then it says Rashi is the one that says everything about the snake and everything like that.
But didn't you just say that, according to, I guess, Rashi, that the reason Tzipora knew that she had to get the bris milah
is because of the bris milah.
Seeing the snake going up today.
That does not seem to be the same shot as Rashi. You're correct. 100%. Because she didn't see anything. She would have just seen a guy convulsing on the ground. She wouldn't have seen the vision. Or if she did, she had her own Ruach HaKodesh of what was happening. But she wouldn't have really known. There's a big question about whose bris milah was delayed. Whose kid was it? Which kid didn't have? We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu had two kids, Gershom and Eliezer. So which one didn't have a bris? The obvious answer, Rashi says, Eliezer. He was just born. He was 8 days old on that day, and he should have had a bris milah. Instead, before giving the kid a bris milah, he dealt with the malone. That's Rashi's idea, and that's Eliezer. But Yonas and Ben Uziel says it was Gershom. Now, Gershom was much older at this point. Gershom was older. So why didn't Gershom have a bris milah? Yonas and Ben Uziel says a crazy answer. He says because of Yisrael. Yisrael made a deal with Moshe Rabbeinu and said, you're going to have kids. I want the kids to be under my tutelage. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, what does that mean? So he said, I want to be their teacher. They do not get a bris milah. They'll get a bris milah when they're good and ready. If they want to give themselves a bris milah, then they'll do it. And Moshe Rabbeinu agreed, and Gershom was never given a bris milah when he was born. And even now, when he was older, we don't know how old Gershom was at this time, but he didn't have a bris milah, and that's why the snake swallowed up Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what was Moshe Rabbeinu thinking? Who would agree to such a deal? Moshe Rabbeinu was a tzaddik. He was a Navi. He was able to kill people with a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name at the age of 13. I'd like to see you guys try to kill somebody with the name of Hashem at the age of 13. Who can do that? He was the son of Amram and Yocheved. He was a tremendous tzaddik, and the brother of Aaron and Miriam. How in the world could he agree to such a deal not to give a bris milah to Gershom? And here's the shot. Shabbat. Yisro had an idea. He said, there are two ways of finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Number one is growing up that way and going with it and just admitting to it and everything. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you're aloof. You've never been together with your kids. Your kids are going to be together with me anyway. So allow them to learn about all the other Avodah Zarahs in the world. I'll show them how they're all fakes, how they're all not real. None of them mean anything. None of them do anything. I'll show them because I'm Yisro. I've done everything in the world. I know they're all fakes. I'll do it for all of them. And then afterward, when they see that everything else is a fake, then I'll show them HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'll show them who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. That's what Yisro said. And when they're good and ready to get a bris milah, they'll get a bris milah. Even Yisro didn't have a bris milah yet. He didn't get a bris milah until Har Sinai. Yisro said, when they're good and ready, they'll get a bris milah. But don't give them a bris milah at first.
Why are you assuming that Yisro was that way at the time, though? Because he
why am I... Yonis and Luzio was in there. Again, no, this is based on Yonis and Luzio.
Why is he assuming that? Because
Yisro... assumption is a trush.
I get that. But Yisro comes at Kriyas Yamsuf, and that's when he really has that, like, oh, like, I heard about Kriyas... Or he comes after Matan Torah.
Rashi says straight out that Yisro went to... That's why he's called Yisro and not Yeser, because he found the extra, all the Torah. That's why Yisro... That's the whole concept, that he was supposed to have found everything in the Torah itself. And that's why he came to... No, this is right now, that he was Megayer. Yeah, that he was part of the Ger. So Yisro was along with everybody else. So Yisro saw that. So Yisro was going to be this person who was going to allow... who'll be under my wing, and Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to it because he knew that Yisro was somebody who believed in a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I'll agree to it, I'm okay with it, I'm perfectly fine. But there's a problem with this. If you raise a child and say to him, let's worship all the Avodah Zarah in the world, and in the end, you'll find a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It, granted, that person will be unbelievably inspired. We all know what happens when Baalei Teshuva find a Kadosh Baruch Hu, they become inspired. Sometimes they do mitzvahs greater than normal, than the FFBs will do. Right? That's possible. But there's one issue. There's a roshan that the Avodah Zarah makes inside the human being. And if it doesn't come out with that child doesn't hit it, the child of that child will hit it. One of the children of that person who has worshipped Avodah Zarah is going to have that effect on him, called spiritual DNA. But something will go in which those kids will want to do Avodah Zarah. So Gershom had a son. His name was Yonasan. Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe. The Nun is a little bit up. It's at the end of Shoftim. Not Parsha Shoftim, but Yeshua Shoftim in the Navi. Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe started becoming a Komer, a priest to Avodah Zarah. He became a priest to Avodah Zarah. He misunderstood a line that Moshe Rabbeinu had taught him. Moshe Rabbeinu said, "You should, if you're poor, you should do an Avodah Shezara lo. Do a piece of work that's strange for you to do, meaning be a janitor, be something that you're not used to doing, you know, that you're not used to doing, and do that instead of trying to be this hotshot making all this money. Do something instead, because if you need the money, go do something that you wouldn't have done normally." That's the idea of Avodah Shezara lo. But he understood it as Avodah Zarah. And Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe, who was really ben Moshe, just hit it so that it wouldn't look bad on Moshe Rabbeinu, started worshiping Avodah Zarah by Pesel Micha. He was the Oved, the person, the Kohen, by Pesel Micha, even though he himself was a Levi. That's what happens. You know why? Says the Kiddush Arim. Because only Avodah Zarah, only non-Jews have the ability to be Mavato Avodah Zarah. If there's an Avodah Zarah there, they can say this Avodah Zarah is Batal. Because by them it was real, and now they're saying it's fake. But a Jew, we all know that Avodah Zarah is fake. You can't be mevatel something that never existed in the first place. So it stays with you. There's no real bittul by it. It stays in your system, and it never went away. That's one problem that happened, but that's one shot in what happened that Gershom never got a milah. What about Eliezer? Why didn't Eliezer get a milah? Because Moshe Rabbeinu understood that if you're going on a trip, you can't give your son a bris milah. It's a sakana, it's a danger for the child to be traveling, you know, while it just had a bris milah. You can't do that with a baby. You can't travel with a baby after you just had a bris milah. The shot is he was incorrect about that. The whole concept of Chai Bohem, you should live in order to do mitzvos, does not apply by non-Jews. By Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, there is no such concept of Yavor V'al Yeharig. Be over on them and just don't allow yourself to be killed. They have Yarog Val Yavor by every one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, and so too with this kid. He had a chiyuv to put his son in sakana, in danger to be killed, in order to be moser nefesh for the bris milah. That's what he should have done, because v'chai b'hem did not apply yet. That's why Eliezer was supposed to get the bris milah, even though they were traveling at the time. Yeah.
You're saying he's not Jewish.
No mitzvah bris milah in the first place. Anything that they were chayiv to do, whatever the Jews were chayav to do, whatever the non-Jews were chayav to do, we would not have the issue of b'chai b'hem just yet until Matan Torah. And therefore, you have to be moser nefesh for anything. That was the concept over here. But let's get into the meat, the meat and potatoes of this entire idea. What did Sipporah say? What was she talking about? So Rashi has a pshat that chosin domi matolim. I'm sorry?
Isn't the ra'im
dochadat?
Ra'im,
what?
The
ra'im
isn't in dochadat.
The Mizrahi?
Yeah.
For what? Which one?
The
chai b'hem?
It
I don't
remember. Down as a kasha, but then he says. I thought it was
from the Chassam Sofer. Yeah. That's from the Chassam Sofer, so I don't remember. I'll look it up. Believe it or not. But Kichosin Dami Matali, Rashi says, Ati Segorin Liosa Chosin Shalim Nirtach Lecha, you are causing my husband to be killed. And then she said, Amra Chosin Dami Lamulos, my husband was almost killed because of the Bris Mila. That was the line. Okay, that's nice. The Sforno and the Rabbeinu Bechaya say it a little bit differently. When I first married you, Chosin Atali, you made me promise to give our sons, Dam Bris, the Bris Mila. So this should be a schus for Moshe. And then she realized she had to do more. She gave a Mila and a Priya. Because Priya is a little bit extra. That's what she ended up doing to add it on. That's La Mulos for a double Bris Mila. And that's the line. Panach Razan, the Chizkui, says a crazy thing. Tzipora thought it was all her fault. She said, it's my fault because I married you. You should have married a Jew, and instead you married a Binyanis. You married a non-Jewish woman. So it's because of me that I married you, even though I was Megayer, but because I married you, and it wasn't a kosher geris because it was no Beis Din or whatever it was, that's why you're being killed. So she immediately showed that I'm a Jew, I want to be a Jew, and she couldn't give a Bris Mila to herself, she gave a Bris Mila to her kid, to show I want to be a Jew. And as soon as she did that, then the snake went away, and she showed, oh, it's because of the Bris Mila, that's why I'm able to live. That's all them. The Malbim says she misunderstood what the Bris Mila was for. In her pagan upbringing, assuming that everything was all about Avodah Zarah, she understood that if you're born under the mazel of Mazim, if you're born under Mars, this constellation that I guess Mars is the head over, then you must kill people. And even a Jew would do that. Not only that, all Jews, she thought, were born under the mazel of Mazim. They were all born under the mazel of Mars. So what do? You have to make them bleed a little bit in the beginning of their lives. And the Bris Mila is a way of knocking down the mazel of Mars. Knocking down the concept of bloodshed and everything. It will show in the beginning of the person's life, we spill a little bit of his blood. And we say, that should take care of mazel Mazim. That was her thought. Based on her upbringing, based on her Ovdei Avodah Zarah, she assumed that that's the pshat. Why? So what did she do when she saw that her husband was being killed? In order to get rid of our husband, to make sure that my husband isn't killed, I need to do a kapara. How do I do a kapara for my husband? I have to make someone bleed. So she thought making someone bleed is a kapara to not allow them to kill or be killed. So she made her child bleed. She took off the only part of the body of the child that is called an aver, a limb, that if you take it off, you're not a balmum from. You take off a finger, well, you're a balmum. From then on, you have a blemish. Take off cut out an eye, then that's a blemish. An ear, that's a blemish. An orla is considered an aver, it's considered a limb. But if you cut it off, there's no blemish. She took off that part and made it bleed. She didn't think it was for a Bris Mila. She might not have even known about a Bris Mila, said the Malbim. But once she did it, she said, oh, this is what saved my husband. It's because of the Bris Mila that my husband was saved. And that's the concept of Chosin is Domim. She thought my Chosin is full of blood. Chosin Domim Atoli. You're a Chosin that I married that is connected with Mazel Mazin, and that's why you have to kill or be killed. So therefore, I'm going to spill some blood for you. And then she realized that no, Chosin Dam Lamulos is all about a kapara, and Bris Mila is good enough. She realized the concept of Bris Mila, which is a crazy line. Some say she blamed Moshe Rabbeinu, and the child was being killed. It's based on a Gemara in Nedarim, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, and Moshe was taking care of business at the Malone. Moshe was giving his credit card, whatever it was, to the innkeeper, and the snake came and started eating up the child. Not Moshe Rabbeinu, the child. And Tzipora got all angry at Moshe Rabbeinu. This is brought down, and the reason why Chosin Domim was not Moshe Rabbeinu. Chosin refers to the child. I couldn't believe this when I saw it. It's a Mishnah in Nida. Nida, Mem Dalid Amud Aleph, brings down that a child who dies early is called a chosin. Why? Because you're never going to see their wedding. So she thought, when she saw the child dying, I'm never going to see the wedding. He said, Chason Domim Atali. This is a Chason Domim. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're causing my son to die. She was blaming Moshe Rabbeinu. And then she went ahead and did a bris milah. But she couldn't do a full bris milah, which is why it says the word batichros. And she cut the orlas benot. It doesn't say batomo. She gave a bris milah. She didn't. She couldn't. She cut off a little bit. And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu finished it off, came, did the priya of the bris milah. Once he did that, then chosin damin lamulos. My son would have died if not for the bris milah. And that's the line, says the Malbim, what's going on over here. What an unbelievable line. It's a Pnei Yeshua famous in Kedushin Chof Test. That's also worth looking up. But that's all that. Okay. But let's really get into the secrets behind what's going on here. Chacham Sofer asks, why are we calling him Chosson? If it's Moshe Rabbeinu, right? And it's not just a line on the kid, whatever it is. Why are we calling him a Chosson? That's number one. Number two, why does Hashem really want to kill him? We've given some answers. What did Hashem really want from him? He says the most unreal answer. Two answers, two Chacham Sofers, one after the other. They are crazy. Number one, Moshe was born under a mazel. He was born under a mazel in which he had to die by water. We know that because the magicians saw that. The Khartoumim saw that there will be a savior born to the Jews. They weren't sure if he was Egyptian or Jewish. Because remember, he might have been Jewish because he was born to a Jewish woman, but he might have been Egyptian because he was raised by Bithya Baspara. So they weren't sure which one it was. But they knew that his ending would be with water. So what did they do to all the children? They took the Egyptian and the Jewish children, threw them all in the river, because they figured that would destroy the whole thing. Everything would be gone. So here's the pshat. Moshe was born under a mazel that he'd be destroyed by water. How do you defeat your mazel? As Jews, there's two ways. You can move to Eretz Yisrael. Moving to Eretz Yisrael gets rid of mazel, because ein mazel li Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. No such thing as mazel. You don't have any mazel if you're in Eretz Yisrael. That's one way. But there's a second way. And Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, could not go to Eretz Yisrael. Number two, in order to get rid of him, you have to have a great schus, a great merit. And if you have that tremendous schus, you'll be able to get out of the mazel. Now here's the problem with a great schus getting out of mazel. If you have a great schus and then you sin, you do something wrong, well then you break that great schus. So what happened when Moshe Rabbeinu got up and said, Shimu no hamorim, listen please, O rebellious ones. Hamina sela zeh notzi lechem mayim. Will we be able to bring out for you water from this rock? As soon as he said that, the schus ended. And that's why he was able to die. And he died through the water. He was given preparations. He was given an extra year to be able to prepare Bnei Yisrael for his death. But that's why he had to die. Because he was only Torah. He was under a mazel. He was under a mazel. And he couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. So if he couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael, the only way is to have a schus gadol. But you can't have a schus gadol if you sin. So when he sinned, he knocked it out and thus made his mazel come. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a plan. He had a plan. He could be mevatel that mazel. You know how you're mevatel a mazel? If a person dies and then has tchias amesim, then tchias amesim means you weren't born then, you were born now. So when Moshe Rabbeinu sinned with his son, such a small, insignificant chait, he didn't give a bris milah to his son because he was busy in the hotel first, and then he was going to give a bris milah, whatever he was going to do. Whatever the issue was, he stayed a little bit and he wouldn't give a bris milah. That tiny little bit of a chait was enough on Moshe Rabbeinu's level for him to die. What did Moshe Rabbeinu want to do? He wasn't going to kill him. How could he kill him? He's sending him down to Mitzrayim. Now he's going to die? Here's shot. He would kill him, and then he'd give him tchias amesim. He would come back to life, and then he'd be born under a different mazel. Then he wouldn't die from the water. Then he'd be able to go inside Eretz Yisrael, because he wouldn't have the problem of Neymariva. And everything will be all good for the Jews. That's what he wanted. But Tzipora didn't know that plan. Tzipora said, you know what the halacha is by the wife of Eliyahu HaNavi? When Eliyahu HaNavi goes up to Shemayim, what happens to the wife of Eliyahu HaNavi? The wife of Eliyahu HaNavi is no longer considered married to him. She wanted to remain married. She said, Chosson Domim Atali, you're killing my husband. You're killing my husband. I don't want my husband to die. Says the Chacham Sofer, she immediately did a bris milah to save Moshe Rabbeinu so that he wouldn't die. And she did it. But that meant that Moshe Rabbeinu would end up having to die later on, before he brought them into Eretz Yisrael by Mei Meriva, because he never changed his mazel. one of the craziest pshatim I've ever heard. But that's the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mamish wanted to kill him, and then wanted to give him tchias ameis and bring him back, and just didn't do it.
But it's
with
Choni Amagel.
God says with the 70 years?
Yeah,
no, not Choni Amagel. Rabbi Hananya ben Tradyum, correct?
One of them.
I would kill you. I would take you down. Etc. Yeah, Efsher. That's the thing. But what my brother's talking about is there's a famous Gemara in Tainus around Chav Gimel Chav Dalet where one of the Tanayim was very, very poor and asked if somebody please could give him money. And he said, I wish I could give you money. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you were born under the wrong mazel. I can't do anything about it. You're born under the wrong mazel. So he said, if you want, I could kill you and destroy the world and start the world all over again. Ulai, maybe you'll be born under a better mazel. And he said no. But it's then an unbelievable Gemara. Kuli hai the ulai is the lashon of the Gemara.
Ulai.
All that, and it's just maybe, maybe I can make you born under a different mazel. It's not easy stuff. The Chassam Sofer says another answer. I went crazy when I read this. The first time I read it, I had a big question mark in my Chassam Sofer when I first went through it, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I looked at it this year and I was like, I cannot believe that anybody says this. Listen to the idea down in the Targum Unculus. Targum Unculus says the following. It says, "V'ameres arei bidma demochulta adain isyayiv chas melana." Because of this bris mila, our chasan was given over to us. And then she said, "Dama demochulta adain ischayiv chasana kitol." The blood of the bris mila caused my chasan to be killed. So wait a second. What caused her husband to be killed? Was it the bris mila? Or was it something else? What was the something else? What else could have caused Moshe Rabbeinu to be killed? Says the Chassam Sofer, every generation since the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed has at least one tzaddik in that generation that could be Mashiach if we listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every generation has one. Bar Kokhba may have been Mashiach. It's a possibility. He might have been Mashiach. It's just that we didn't deserve it, so Mashiach died. And it happens every generation. Somebody is born, and there's somebody here right now, who's living in our world, who is as great as a tzaddik can be, and he would be Mashiach. But we're not Zocha. And that tzaddik may die if we don't realize it in time. If we don't work on it in time. When this man comes, this idea is crazy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appear to the tzaddik in the Nevuah the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu had somebody by the Sneh. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Sneh. He had no idea that Mashiach was coming. No idea that he was the Mashiach. No idea. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, by the way, it's you. You're the guy who's going to be the Mashiach. And that's exactly what's going to happen, La'asid Lavo. La'asid Lavo, Mashiach doesn't know that he's Mashiach. He has no idea. He's going to get up and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give him a nevuah, and immediately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to him, you are Mashiach. And he's going to say, no way. It's not me, it's got to be somebody else. It's the exact same thing that happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was 80 years old and he had no idea that he was Mashiach. Can you imagine what's going to be lost at Lavo? So Mashiach was called, Mashiach was made, and it's the exact same concept. Now here's the pshat. The people were crying out in Mitzrayim. Everybody's crying, screaming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save us, save us, save us, save us. And so they were crying out. And Moshe Rabbeinu was HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately answered, called over Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the Mashiach. Go down to Mitzrayim right now. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He said, no. So he delayed. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 7 days. And he delayed. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael were frustrated. It's been 7 days of davening, and they were not answered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said, God, where do you go? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you listening to us? And God got angry. And at that moment, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu said yes, and was ready to go down Mitzrayim. But Bnei Yisrael didn't deserve Mashiach. So what happened to Mashiach? He almost died. He was going to be killed. And Moshe Rabbeinu would have died, and somebody else would have had to have been born, and that somebody else would have been Mashiach. That's what almost happened. That's why Yevakesh Lamiso. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to kill the Mashiach and bring about somebody else and wait for the generation to get a little bit better so that somebody else could be Mashiach, like he's doing right now. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do. But Zipporah thought the issue was the bris. She thought the issue why she was being killed was the bris. And therefore she went and she did Zrizus. She hurriedly did the bris to her son to be able to save the son. Reminded HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Avram Avinu's chus, and that brought back the concept of the Mashiach. And now God wanted to bring Mashiach again. So God let Moshe Rabbeinu live. Zipporah saved Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And that's what she was saying, and that was the concept of what she was putting out there. She was saying, I allowed this to happen. That's the idea of what Targum Onkelos is trying to say. That it wasn't the Bris Milah. She thought it was the Bris Milah that would save Moshe Rabbeinu, but it wasn't. It was the Bris Milah, the reminder of Avraham Avinu's chus, that brought the Mashiach back to Klal Yisrael. That is an unreal answer. Of course, there's the Netut HaShemshon, but that's not for right now. The Netut HaShemshon is another answer altogether to answer up for Rashi, but that's another answer altogether that just, it takes a long time to go through. But our concept that we have right now, that idea of Mashiach, is just all the way out there. Number one, we call this Sefer Hasheni because it's a continuation of Sefer Bereishis. Number two, Moshe's job was to stay out of Gashmias. So what happened on the way to Mitzrayim? Somehow he went back into Gashmias, so he was punished. What was Tzipora saying? Her only words of Chumash? This is what she was trying to say. Moshe's possible Tchias HaMesim. Moshe should have been the Mashiach, could have been the Mashiach, and should have died, but Tzipora brought him back. And then there's another thing, the Tikkun for Hevel, but that's not for right now. That's another for another time than in Tzitzit Shemshon. We'll stop with that. Have a good Shabbos, guys.